Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and get a cup of coffee. We are in the book of Acts, chapter 14. We're going to go back over what we read the last time just a little bit. We missed some things that we want to bring out to you. And this is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hey, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Mark from La Center, Washington.
So did I invite everybody to get their Bible and get a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm redundant in that. So now they have two Bibles and two cups of coffee. Okay. Yeah. Here we go. And Andy's going to read starting in what verse, Andy, of Acts 14?
23. And when they had appointed for them elders in every church and had prayed with fastings, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. And they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And thence they sailed to Antioch, whence they had been committed to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. And when they were come, they had gathered the church. They declared what things God had done with them, and that he had opened a door of faith unto the nations. So I was just going to mention the door of faith, that God opens a door of faith. We do what we do, but God opens a door for us to go through.
God's got to open it.
He has to open it.
Well, what does it take to open a door when it's locked? What does it take to open that door?
Keys.
Oh, like in where?
Like the keys to the kingdom that were given to Peter.
And that's in chapter 16?
It is, of Matthew.
So I was actually going to focus on that too. Isn't that interesting? And Andy didn't tell me and I didn't tell him. I wanted to make sure that the door of faith now is open to the nations. So it's a door that requires opening, and the first key is what? What's the first thing Jesus said? He said in Matthew 4:17.
Repent.
To change your mind. Mm-hmm. So in Matthew 4:17, it tells you what the first key is to open it, and it also tells you what the door is for. It's the door to the kingdom of the heavens. Wouldn't you put that label on that door? Repent, change your mind, because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. It's right there. You just, that door has to be opened, but God's got to open it, or it's opened with the key that God gives one way or the other. That's putting all the scriptures together about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, and our faith is accounted to us as righteousness. And may the righteous, there's a scripture about the righteous may come in. I think there's a song that has may the righteous.
Oh, yeah. It's in Isaiah. It's one of Pat's songs.
Do you want to sing that song, Steve? Can you do that?
I can try.
Okay. Can you do a Pat imitation?
No.
Isaiah, by the way, is the second most quoted Old Testament book into the New Testament. Second, the first is Psalms. And how many quotes did you find, Steve, that came from Isaiah into the New Testament?
66.
And we went over this before, but in case you missed other episodes, there are 66 chapters in Isaiah. There are 66 books in the Bible. There are 66 quotes out of Isaiah into the New Testament. That's three different things.
It's three.
What's
thrice.
That?
Thrice.
Thrice. We're going to keep thrice in here.
Now we know thrice is thrice times.
It is.
There's at least three times. I think we know of thrices, three times.
This is Isaiah 26. This is one of Pat's songs, starting in verse 1.
In that day, the song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up walls for security. Open the gates that the righteous nation, the righteous nation may enter. The one that remains faithful, faithful to you. The steadfast of mine you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. In that day the song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up walls for security. Open the gates that the righteous nations, the righteous nations may enter. The one that remains faithful, faithful to you. For he has brought low those who dwell on high, the unassailable city. He lays it low, he lays it to the ground, he casts it to the dust. In that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up walls for security. Open the gates that the righteous nations, the righteous nations may enter. The one that remains faithful, faithful to you. The way of the righteous is smooth, O upright one. Make the path of the righteous level. Indeed, while following the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited eagerly for you. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up walls for security. Open the gates that the righteous nation, the righteous nation may enter. The one that remains faithful, faithful to you.
Our faith is accounted to us for righteousness, and this faith is not of ourselves. It's found in John 15, 16. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. So the first key that opens the gate is repentance. First thing Jesus tells us to do is change your mind, and then come after me. So he opens the first gate. And then behind that gate, there is another gate. There are actually three gates to enter in before the Lord. And the next one is called a screen. And that next gate is we die to ourselves. We have our hearts circumcised, and this is at baptism. And this is where that laver first is an altar of sacrifice, and Jesus, God, provided that. And when we repent, we take part in that, and God gives us the faith to take the next step, which to wash, make clean. This is where God creates in us a clean heart. We come out of that laver brand new, put on brand new clothing. He clothes us. Remember, Adam and Eve became naked because of sin, so we need to be clothed. Then we're able to enter in, and we have the key because we've been washed and made clean, and we can enter in through that screen into this wonderful room that has the three-legged stool that are our new life, where the gospel becomes a light to us. It's like the menorah. And also the table of showbread, where we have dinner at the Lord's table, and then the altar of incense, where our prayers are opened. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have communion with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins, and we're able to go in through the veil into the Holy of Holies, to the ark of the covenant, where God's enthroned. And this is in heaven now. This is not a physical building like the Old Testament. The New Testament is where our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So through these three thrice things, this three-legged stool, we have supper with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord every week anew, brand new, and we continue on in him, and we're able to enter. The righteous may enter through this gate. And this Psalms was looking ahead to really the New Testament times. Psalms are the most quoted scriptures in the Bible, and this one is Isaiah. Psalms is the most quoted. Isaiah is the second most quoted, and it's quoted again 66 times into the New Testament. Steve found that out the other day. He decided to count them.
Yeah, I just counted them up. So
three things now we found so far about Isaiah that has to do with 66 times. Mm-hmm. 66 chapters in Isaiah. This is the only book that they found in the caves of Qumran, the Dead Sea Scrolls, that they found in its entirety. All of it is there. And it showed that the 66 books of the Bible are exactly right. Those are the books, not those five extra ones that one denomination put in, but 66 books, just like we have our Bibles today, like King James has those. Was there anything else?
And the last verse in verse 14 says, "And they tarried no little time with the disciples." So they tarried, they stayed there a long time.
Yeah.
They spent time with people at the very, very beginning. They just didn't come into town and tell them the truth and people repent and get baptized, and then they just left. They spent time with them before that to show them things.
Does that remind you of your early days?
Sure.
It's not just knowing the structure, you know, and the Bible and so on, and prayer and having dinners together. It's where you really get to know each other. And I think having the structure, we got to know each other on better terms. When you get the flesh involved, you know, when man's desires come out and you just recklessly get together, and well, you know, the worst is, of course, to get drunk and all those other things. But if that's under control, if your flesh is under control and there's no anger and so on, that's when you really get to know people. There's fellowship at the table, communion, but there's also just getting to know each other on personal terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. When I first came to the Lord, we'd play like board games and talk over coffee and stuff. And so those are good memories that I have.
Yeah, swimming parties, and of course, sometimes people are getting baptized, but you tarry and do other things too.
And the other aspect that is not really part of Christianity is that you have to learn some things about God. You have to spend time with God. You have to have some things literally explained to you. You have to have him involved in your life. It's just not, I went to church you know, three times a year, and it's I love God, and that's it. That God doesn't agree with that simplicity. He is sophisticated because the Greek word for wisdom is Sophia, and God is sophisticated, and he wants us to be sophisticated and understand the simple ways that he has for us.
And other one thing, too, you have what's natural to your family. How about learning other people's families and their structure and how they did things? That's part of it, too, right?
Learning God's family and God's family structures. These are things that are something that are just foreign to people. Many people don't even have a Bible, and the many that have it don't even read it. It must be comforting to have it in your house. I mean, I really believe that people keep that in their house. It makes them feel better. That's why they tarried no little time. They stayed around a while to get them started in things. You have to learn these things. And so that's a different way that many people were brought up with God. And all these other things of spending time together and that's the package. That's the whole piece.
Now, the real ardent churchgoers and, you know, the Christians, they go every week for 1 hour. Is that enough? People can't see head shakes.
Well, how does God think about it? See, we have to learn about what God thinks about worship. What does he think about reading the Bible? What does God think about all those things? They tarried a while with people to get them out of their life because they'd lived their whole life how they'd lived it until this door of faith was opened. And once that door of faith was opened, when you enter into that door, you're not an adult, you're born. And if you want to take it to the real meaning, when you're born, you're not even a little child, you're a baby. And this is a whole concept that people have to understand about this. It's not a matter of intellect. It's a matter of you're born. And that's where you got to start something over right there.
Well, how much time of the day did the disciples spend with Jesus, the first 12? They walked into a new world, didn't they?
They were always with him, unless he walked away and prayed for a whole night or something. They were always around him for 3 years.
He let them sleep once in a while. Well, they'd pass out, actually, basically.
Worn out.
That's a lot of activity.
Well, there's those times where he was feeding thousands of people, and some of those things lasted at least 3 days. So,
and then when they'd get really settled down, he goes, okay, I want you to go ahead of me over here and tell them I'm coming. So he'd send them out away from him, and then he'd get there, and that's when the work began with them too.
On this 28, when you say a long time, we're talking about this. For me, a long time, I can see who you really are. If you talk about an hour in a week, I can put on a clean shirt and you think I'm a certain way and I leave, you have no idea. When you're around me a long time, you're going to see whether I'm different. You're going to see who I am.
If you're the same.
Yeah. And when I first came to God's family, I was so excited to see that the people there, they weren't different. You know, when I would see them at the grocery store and they were the same person.
Also, when you're doing the things other than going to a meeting or learning things, they weren't different. They were the same there as they were over here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
When Gil says that he's goofy, you get to see the goofy side. You get to see the humor. You don't just see there's also the, like you're saying, God is sophisticated and he's organized, but you get to see the whole thing.
Did I say goofy?
I thought that was your word.
I think I did.
Yeah, this kind of gets the hypocrite thing out in the open.
Yeah.
You can't really be a hypocrite and not be seen.
Yeah.
You will with your wife.
Well, that's another side, yeah.
They might roll, you know, all of us guys, we know this one, that we are not perfect. We will say or do things, and our wives are hoping for us to grow up. I mean, really, we started our lives as kids. I was 23, and I was like a big kid. And I could tell when Carolee wanted me to go on. Actually, the individual that got us going, this Bible teacher in the Bible college that where everything ended up in his house, he used to keep asking my wife when I was going to grow up because I was a big kid. But the thing is that was fine at certain times, but then there were times I needed to be serious. When salvation is at hand or people really have a weight on them and they needed the serious side, then I had to learn that side too. So I'm not always serious, but we are allowed to be ourselves, but we have to be careful when it's not about us and we have to be a servant and we have to put on a servant face to help them out. Because there's a time definitely not to be silly. And that was probably one of the harder parts with me, but in time, with the help of my wife too.
And you know, people are raised, I was raised in going to church, and this is different. It's not like a place to go, it's like you are part of it.
Family.
You're a piece of it.
It's family.
You're a piece of this family. You're a piece of this, it's called the body of Christ, it's family, and it's a piece of this, and you are literally a walking, talking piece of it.
Well, and man, within man, a man or a woman is the head of that family. This family happens to have a head who's a bit more strict than my parents were, that I can't get away. I can get away with less and less. It happens to be God, because we have got a problem here. He's everywhere, and he sees all things, and he even sees into the heart. So I have to be careful how I think, how I act. I have to be careful of the whole thing. And it's a big difference when you start looking at creation, that the Lord is everywhere. There's, you know, if I go here, he is there. There's a scripture that says something like that. If I climb the highest mountain, if I go into the depths of the earth, he is there. He's at the ends of the universe. There's not a place where I can go that God is not. And that causes a problem for a bad boy. So the bad boy has to change his mind and realize God. Once you start realizing that and start changing your ways, you don't have to be phony to people, because the main part is Dad is always looking. And he wants our hearts. He doesn't want lip service. And that's what people are used to in churches. They're used to lip service. But God says, no, I want your heart. So this whole thing about tarrying together, but I also look at all the times we get together, like the camp out we just had at Dale and Julie's, we did all kinds of things. And it wasn't, the word God wasn't used all the time. We were doing, I don't know, half of what other people were doing. One thing, we're getting to know each other.
Well, you and Don and I and Rachel, I think Dan Whitus came out there. I was talking about some history books I was reading, and we sat out there and talked about that for an hour and a half about different things. And so, I mean, you just have a chance to share things with people and become just really good friends with them.
Yep. Passing books around, like some really neat ones, The Boys in the Boat, Lionsgate, all these neat books. What are some of the good books you've been liking?
Well, history books. I just looking at the history, just looking into history. Just a few different books.
You looked into D-Day, right?
Yeah, actually the war in Japan. I was looking into that. There's a couple different things. The Doolittle Raid. Things of history that my dad was living at that time and I don't know much about. And I wasn't taught these things in school. And just looking at things like that.
When Paul went in there, he read about them and he says, I've read about them doing this. So it's always good to read about people and find out what their interests are. Paul knew them, and we're to copy these folks. And Ray, this Bible college teacher, he'd come into town and he goes, what's that building right there? And if you didn't know, he says, I want you to find out about that before I come back again. Isn't that, I mean, he put you on the spot if you didn't know something, because he'd expect you to read books and to understand people.
When reading this one history book about the Doolittle raid on Japan, I was at a bank and there were some men there that were 15 years, they were 70s to 80s, and they were part of the World War II type ages, and there was 10 of them over there, and I just walked over there in the middle of them, and I go, hey, guys, I wanted to ask you a few questions. And I just started talking to them, and all of them talked to me and listened back and forth for maybe 45 minutes. I would have never spoken to those people. So it's a way to get to know people. If you, what is that, to be cosmopolitan? That's the word we haven't used in a while.
But these are the kind of things we think about when we're around each other. These are the things we talk about. We're in Acts chapter 15. The next context is 1 through 2 and 3 through 5. Why don't we read 1 through 5? We're reading two contexts. One, if you would please pause after 2 for a little bit, we'll finish all the way to verse 5.
And certain men came down from Judea, were teaching the brethren, except ye be circumcised after the custom of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and questioning with them, they appointed Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them to go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question.
Oh, so they didn't answer it, they wanted in the multitude of counselors their safety, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to go to Jerusalem. And these are people now, they're going to be talking to people that walked with Jesus 3.5 years.
Yep.
And 120, there's actually 120 that actually were there a long time, but at least 12, and some of the women were there pretty much that time.
They therefore, being brought on their way by the church, passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the nations, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and the elders, and they rehearsed what things God had done with them. But certain of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, that it is needful to circumcise them and to charge them to keep the law of Moses.
So this is going to be the next subject that we're going to go into, and the apostles and elders are there, and they're going to go look into this matter, and the matter is the logo. They're going to look and see if this is something that's on God's heart and mind, and what the importance is, and really what this thing about circumcision really means. And we are coming to a close again, and we'll continue on in Acts chapter 15 when we get back with you. Thank you for joining us, and until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington, 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.